Welcome to another Sunday show with Neil De Beer, both politician and political commentator. Morning, Neil.
Yeah, Chris, a somber morning.
I know, you witnessed a terrible tragedy yesterday.
Yes, and to say that I am still shaken. Chris, I attended, I'm on the West Coast this weekend for a breakaway. I was the guest yesterday of the mayor of Saldanha, Andre Treter, a very good friend, who invited us to the Saldanha air show yesterday. Chris, surreal, I was sitting there and we were watching the air show, and one of the old but very iconic aircraft in the South African Air Force history, the Impala, had a pilot yesterday doing maneuvers in the afternoon at about 3 o'clock, and we were watching it. Actually, Chris, I was videotaping the flight of this great icon of the air. The pilot was a gentleman called James O'Connell, one of the most iconic test pilots this country actually has. And as we were watching his one maneuver, the aircraft turned onto its side and was doing a roll. And Chris, as I was videotaping it, I saw it just plummet and hit the ground in a horrific crash yesterday. We were all stunned. But my condolences, if I may, to Mr. O'Connell's family, to his friends, and to Andre Treter and the community of Saldanha, who reacted within minutes. And to him and to this unbelievable town, may I give our BizNews condolences to the family. Surreal, Chris, and it reminds us that when you wake up in the morning, you do not know what's going to happen. So our heartfelt condolences to the family.
I mean, on to the unresolved budget, Neil. Why won't the African National Congress agree to an expenditure review?
Yeah, Christo, mate, I think we've come to the point, you and I were at BizNews flabbergasted of hearing how the processes worked on the first failed budget, then the second one where the DA still did not budge, and good for them, and good for the PA, and good for the rest of them, for saying this is the virtual, you remember when Helen Zille said this is actually now the beginning of the coalition. Because at the end of the day, they've had it plain sailing until now. And everybody was able to blame the sixth cabinet to say these laws like the Bella Bill and like the bill on land appropriation were not actually done in this era. So you could understand that the only thing that Sukie Cyril, we call him that because we told trying to find him, actually just signed the bills into action. It wasn't negotiated in this era. So we could get away with it. But the budget is the first actual test of the GNU. And as you now know, it's rejected. They will now have to go item by item and clear that budget for as long as there's a stalemate on, let's call it the 0.5 escalation and this absolute nonsensical vice president saying it's an interim measure, like my baldness. And at the end of the day, I am very, very sorry to say that while there is this fight of, can I call it an anti-socialism, anti-nationalism budget, which actually goes out there and finds that 25 million people on a grant is something that they can fluff their peacock feathers and tell the world how good I am. Disgusting if you say that 25 million people out of 60 are on grants. This is nothing to actually flap your wings about. To say that we've run out of fiscal produce and now want to put VAT that hits the poorest of the poor. It's a nonsensical budget made by a nonsensical authority that's had 30 years of governance. And is part of the reason why there's no more water in this well. So, tragic time for us not even being able to pass a budget. But I would rather fight line item by line item than allow this now defunct ANC to actually get what they want. And that's, it's a tragedy, but it is where we are.
Well, as our expelled U.S. Ambassador Ebrahim Rasool returns, the Africa National Congress SG Fikile Mabalula accuses President Donald Trump of supremacism. Does the African National Congress understand South Africa's geopolitical challenge here, Neil?
Nee, wat? Kyk, hulle het hom nou so misgegooi soos 'n blikkie met 'n donder se kleilat. I mean, with a wimbuk, you got more chance. Fikile, I think sometimes, and not being insulting, but let's go, I think sometimes is on planet Mama. So, you know, if there was one thing I would beg Elon Musk is, sit die donder in a rocket and skiet hom af, because I think if he can land on a proverbial nonsensical empty paradisal planet, it would probably stuff up that planet within a year. You know, Russia does not have to moor Ukraine. You know, they can just employ Fikile for a week as Minister of Defense. Kyk, dan is hulle moer toe in 'n dag. So, you know, he kind of stuffs up everything that he actually puts his hand on. And may I say, ANC, please keep him. Yeah, you don't move him. In actual fact, bloody promote him. So, Fikile has got this nonsensical ideology. I'm sorry to say that everything's fine. Lala Kukuland. And at the end of the day, he's now attacking Trump. He's attacking everybody. But at the end of the day, couldn't pay his staff salaries at Lotuli House. So this man who is the proverbial CEO, Secretary General, want dit klink bedonderd, is currently roaming over a scenario where people are looking at him and going, but yay, the king's naked, dude. So everything he says is absolutely nonsensical, specifically the other day when he appears on a television program and he says he's only been in the job for a couple of months and they're already calling him to be the president, as ye no more. So, sorry, everything that this guy spews out, I take with 9 filters, 3 dissections of dynamite cluster and a oorklep because he just doesn't make sense and now supports Rasool's actions. I mean, that is Rasool, the last fool, and their bastion. So I wouldn't take him serious, Chris.
I'm sure Trump doesn't either, Neil.
No, he doesn't lose 1 minute of sleep. He's actually dunking more hamburgers and chips than what he listens to this small little guy somewhere on a rock.
Okay. And another character, Johannesburg Mayor Dada Marrero, who is accused of employing or deploying influencers as praise singers to cover up for poor service delivery in the decaying city of Igoli.
No, but Chris, what kind of medication? I mean, I want to ask him just one question. Is your mental health okay? I mean, is you all right? I mean, Chris, he walks around a city that's imploded and walks around and opens a school, goes to an academy, while his own president arrives in Igoli and says, you're shocking. And then he sits down and says, no, we can fix this. So let me tell you the story behind the story, Chris. So President Ramaphosa, remember him, he arrives in Johannesburg, but everybody says, but your office is in Joburg. So I don't know which route he takes, or do they parachute him in like that absolute idiot of the Defense Force with his honorary parachute wings? And we're going to comment about that now. You know, comes to the absolute realization that the most prominent economic city, yes, the place of gold, is dilapidated and has fallen apart. Now, automatically, task team, mission of inquiry, Cookie Friet and Hanswas, they all get together and he starts this massive thing called the Presidential Johannesburg Task Team. Now, a task team, Chris, is when everything fails and sets up to following up many other meetings via Jynet, Cookies, Vreet, and Lam, Kop, Seich. So, how did they not know that the city has fallen apart? So, Mr. Dada Marrero suddenly becomes the savior. Because Twitter, after the president recognizes that this town is Burtu, blows up with many Twitter handles, Chris, saying what great man he is and that Dada Marrero is the dun-tun-tun-tun-tun-tun-tun Murtu. He's the Superman. He's going to become the savior of Joburg. Hy gaan in sy muur inval, hoor gou vir my, because he's kryptonite. You know Superman, kryptonite. He's kryptonite is progressive thinking. His kryptonite is the theft and the looting that's gone on, and his kryptonite, in actual fact, is a failed ANC. So there he sits, but people are saying, yo, what a great man. Listen, he's a salt pillar. So now there's an investigation from the media to contact some of those Twitter handles, Chris, and lo and behold, they fake. Joburg automatically comes in and says, no, they're not fake. This is an absolute indication that we're on the winning track. Now, listen to me quickly. 9 stud horses and a bloody donkey, and you are running your moor off. The donkey comes 3 hours later and they go, what a performance. This is the ridiculousness that we've got. So if he's got a couple of swan song singers and a muse that sits there and says that this guy's great, get us amal dom. So plain and simply, we won't know, but polishing his nuts they are. And at the end of the day, Chris, they're going to need a lot of grease when die ballers out.
Neil, meanwhile, Deputy President Paul Mashatile's legal troubles seem to be returning with the National Prosecuting Authority reconsidering its decision not to take a fraud and perjury case to trial. What are the chances of that being successfully taken to a conclusion, considering the track record of the NPA, the woeful track record of the NPA?
Chris, I call it the garlic effect. Knuffel, awesome. You know, you can go and do what the hell you want to, but if you've eaten a half a ton of garlic the previous night, the next day people will not stand a kilometer next to you. It always follows you. It never goes away. It absolutely stinks. And every time you go, you don't get it. It's in your blood. It's in your skin, garlic. So Paul Mashatile's cases are like his garlic breath. And I don't want it to go away. Chris, you were there when we had the most successful Biz News, when my question publicly to Paul Mashatile was posed to him. And I absolutely didn't think that Biz News management, and I regret and publicly apologize, would have the rugby balls to get up. But vrachtig, Alec Hogg got up and said to Paul Mashatile, this question is from Neil De Beer, but you could actually check him. Start looking for, I think, a signal to tell his VIP protection or Oslo by. But it was too late. Question posed. And what was the question? The public question on record said, Mr. Mashatile, you are currently under the scrutiny of investigation. In other words, a dark cloud. Will you subject yourself to a private inquiry, a commission of inquiry, or investigation publicly to clear your name so that at least the public can trust one of you? Chris, he looked at this question. He went to Malmesbury, then Beaufort West, the Bikkie Bay Welkom gedraai to Bloemfontein, Mangohang, and then he came back. He answered that nothing. And the only thing he said is, but I gave myself to the scrutiny of the Parliamentary Ethics Committee. Now, kijk, if Satan had to appear at the Parliamentary Ethics Committee, they would give this guy white wings. So this is the same ethics committee that had to moor Malema because he said kill the boer. And more than that, this is the same ethics committee that overshadowed the firearm and weapons scandal. This is the same ethics committee that minister after minister, Zondo after Zondo, has not prosecuted anybody. Currently, by the way, as everybody knows, I've charged a member of parliament 6 weeks ago, Mr. Zandile Maka of the MK party, for saying that farm murders is a solution to the white people. I charged him criminally. What has happened, Chris? Nothing. Zero. It's like waiting for an egg to boil, but you didn't put on the pan. So you know what? Paul Mashatile is going to duck and dive this thing. Unless, Chris, there is an alternative motive of this continual request for him to be prosecuted. Now, I'm telling you, I'll go for that one. Someone doesn't want him to become president. And in that line of politics, Chris, you know yourself, everybody is open target. So I think there's a little bit of both. I think there is the continual coming. And as you said, of the quite dull NPA performances, but we've spoken about that. And I'm sad to say that this is not just about him possibly being guilty, but a way to take him out of the running of the presidency.
Now, you're being in the Saldanha Bay area, that was where former President Jacob Zuma's MKP had a big win in Middelpos, Neil. 44%. What an upset.
Wow. I think just to give, because I've now spoken to people here, I think we need to put maybe just things into context. Number one, it was an ANC ward. So that ward was in the ANC's hands for yonks, years. I think what happened, as I understand it, that the candidate that stood on the ticket of MK was in actual fact very popular. They just put the sticker on and he chose MK to be his party. So one, it was ANC's lackadaisy attitude of arrogance. And number two, they chose the right candidate of the community to just put on that t-shirt. But what are the ramifications? Well, point one, you and I actually, as they say in Latin, et nausea, turritus quotes, have said, do not underestimate MK. MK is not going to wait for 2026. They are going to hit the by-elections and they're going to try and get in now, which they now did. But what is the shocker, Chris? The shocker to everybody and a little bit to me was we always thought that MK is a KZN, Natal, strength-based. And if they had to do by-elections, they would not survive outside, but hit their own turf. They're in the Western Cape. They've got one significant little dot now of a foothold in the Western Cape. An area, Chris, that has never been dominated by anybody else except the DA. And at the time, our favorite Mr. Rasool, when he was the premier, and Norma India Umfoketu was the mayor. So it's been that balance of power. But suddenly, new player on the block, and this is not going to be, in my humble opinion, the last one. They are going to strike before next year. And Chris, your remark is absolutely correct. Not by a small margin. They took this one convincingly. And that is the fear that we've got, is the continual growth of MK and then later on the possibilities after 2027. Where would people go? So watch the space. Mm. Watch every by-election. Mm. They're coming.
And that win coming despite the mayhem in the party, despite the infighting. So I think it's very significant. I agree with you, Neil. Lastly, let's go to the South African National Defence Force, both the DRC and then the mystery of a disappearing insignia from the general's chest.
I don't know, Chris. I get a little feeling, you know, when you go down your spine, and your spine ends. Gastos da lai laste firkie. I le nedda. And that's where they say you get a feeling. You know, when you get cold or at hypochinda. I don't know, Chris, do you think they look at our show? Do you think people are watching us? Because let me tell you, here's a surprise. So number one, you know, we have vehemently been asking Tani Angie, you know, what are you going to do about the DRC, etc. It now seems, Chris, there is a planned withdrawal, that they are going to bring our sons and daughters home, and now they're planning it. I don't know how long, when, but there is an official statement that the actions of the joint task force that they've got there is going to withdraw. This is good news. Again, we have nothing to do there. So that's the one good news. But Chris, you will remember a couple of months ago, I was on a tirade to say that our chief of the defense force is wearing stolen valor. And I was upset because people of that special force grouping and the veterans were telling me the history of what he's wearing on his uniform. So apparently, when he wears the Special Force Operator's badge, that was given to him because he was the commanding officer for a while of the Special Force Regiment. So there is a law that allows him to get the honorary badge. He didn't deserve it, but okay, let's leave that. But Chris, the other one, was the one that was absolutely in dispute, and that is that he not only got an honorary Special Force Operator's badge, and now, by the way, if you look at it, it's class gold, which means after 10 years of being an operator, you escalate from the silver badge to the gold badge, and he somehow got that now as well. I don't know if he did that in the garage, but anyway, this man got an honorary parabat wing. Because his friend was apparently, allegedly, the commanding officer of 44 Parachute Battalion. So he got honorary wings. So not that he just get honorary operator status, but I told him a false carom wing. And you will remember I said to him, I might not be able to moor out of an aeroplane, but I will pay for a tandem jump with you out of a Cessna so that we can see if you can jump. So that hit the news. It went all over. Chris Stein, 2 weeks ago, he has to be at a ceremony. And lo and behold, I sent you the pictures, Chris. The wings are gone. The parabat wings are not on his chest.
He must have flown off his uniform.
But just to check that I'm not going a little bit nuts, because, you know, there is that rumor that attackers. Luckily, I went and checked for the past 3 weeks every photo op I could see of him, and bless the soul, on not one of those recent pictures does he wear the honorary parabat wing. And I want to say, well done, because I think the idea of clinging myself chest to chest with him, mooring out of a Cessna, was too hard to bear. So I think you and I should claim that we are reclaiming a little bit of honor on behalf of those people in the country that are part of an elite group that deserved those badges and insignia. So for them, I think you can send us a well done.
Thank you. That was Neil De Beer, the president of the United Independent Movement, on the Sunday Show. With Biz News, and I am Chris Stein. Thank you, Neil.
Blessings to everybody, Chris, and see you soon.